You're listening to the First in Football podcast, celebrating 150 years of Princeton Tigers football.
The Princeton Tigers have matched their longest winning streak since the mid-1960s. 17 straight for the Princeton Tigers, dating back to the opener of last season. They win it on the road here at Shulkoff Field under the lights on a Friday night in a nationally televised game, 21-7.
Kyler takes the snap. He's quickly got to throw it. Rolling to his right. He's got to get rid of it, and he's going to keep it going. Now he's going to throw it deep, and he heaves it down the field. Jump ball. Deflected. Caught. Caught. Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Darvin. Touchdown. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I don't believe it. Dartmouth wins it on a Hail Mary. The miracle in Cambridge.
That was Brett Franklin on the call for the Dartmouth Learfield IMG Sports Network. That 9-6 Dartmouth win on the Hail Mary at Harvard leads us into our Week 8 edition of the First in Football podcast alongside Jerry Price. I'm Cody Cruchel. Jerry, I know you had a chance to kind of see some of that. Dartmouth never should have been in that spot.
No, but you know, at the same time, that's what championship teams do. They put themselves into that spot. And, you know, Dartmouth came into this season clearly thinking about that they had the team to go 10-0 like Princeton did last year. And they really destroyed everybody they played up until last week, found themselves in a tough game. And that's when you really find out something about a team. And they hung in there. They did a lot of little things to keep Harvard from pulling away. And they took full advantage of the door when it was open for them. And you know, it makes you wonder, do you come out of that game just having dodged the one bullet you're going to have all year, with just dripping with confidence? Or are you a little more concerned about, first of all, you have the emotional letdown of that game. Or did that game sort of expose a few things about you? But that team is really good. You know, they have a lot of guys whose names are familiar. They have a lot of guys who are experienced. They have great lines on both sides of the ball. They have great playmakers on both sides of the ball. That's a really, really good team. I thought they were really, really good last year. I think they may be better this year.
Last year, Princeton Dartmouth, it was 7-0 against 7-0. We called it the game of the decade in the Ivy League. It had been 17 years since unbeaten Ivy League teams had met that late in the season. Saturday, let's do it again. 7-0 Princeton against 7-0 Dartmouth. Last year, 14-9, the Tigers won this Saturday. It's at Yankee Stadium, celebrating the 150th anniversary of the first ever college football game, celebrating that all week this week. And 3:30 kickoff at Yankee Stadium. You can watch it on ESPNU. You can listen on the Princeton Learfield IMG College Sports Network on WPRB or the TuneIn app by searching Princeton. Princeton 9th in the coaches poll, 10th in the media poll. Dartmouth ranked 13th in both polls. 17 straight wins for the Tigers, the longest streak since 17 straight between 1964 and 1965. That streak was snapped by
Dartmouth, and not only that, but so Princeton won 17 straight coming into that game, and Dartmouth beat Princeton. Dartmouth had won 9 straight coming into that game, which is what Dartmouth's won coming into this game. So that's a cute little historical note that actually means little when the game starts on Saturday, but you know, it's kind of interesting that's, you know, you have that sort of historical repeat heading into this one.
That'll be, again, a 3:30 kickoff. And if Princeton wins Saturday, that'll extend the longest winning streak since that 24-game winning streak back when Dick Kazmaier suited up for the Tigers.
Yeah, and I don't think, it's kind of weird because you have this 150th anniversary, so everybody's focused on that. And it's certainly a big deal. Princeton-Rutgers in the first game 150 years ago today. And then you have all these other historical notes. But when the game actually starts, none of that matters. Like you're playing that game in Yankee Stadium. It's actually technically Dartmouth's home game, and Dartmouth moved it to Yankee Stadium because it's the 250th anniversary of Dartmouth as an institution, along with the 150th anniversary of college football. So you're obviously playing in an iconic place. But short of that, once the game starts, where you're playing doesn't matter. Why you're playing there doesn't matter. What you have is 2-7-0 teams. What we saw last year is one of the great games that I've ever seen in the Ivy League, maybe the best game I've ever seen in the Ivy League. It was so dramatic and so intense from the opening kickoff, and I expect something similar this year. I expect something pretty close.
Last year, 7-7, tied at the end of the first. Dartmouth picks up a safety early in the second quarter, and that score held until a John Lovett second rushing touchdown of the game midway through the fourth quarter. Princeton's defense held strong, 14-9. The Tigers won it. Looking at this year, similar storylines, identical records. Dartmouth has the top scoring defense in the country. Princeton's the seventh-ranked offense out of 124 teams. Princeton, the number three scoring defense. Dartmouth ranked 13th in scoring offense. What are you looking for in this game? What are a couple of storylines and things that you're going to keep an eye on?
Well, it's a few things. So like last year, you know, both teams were scoring a lot of points and not allowing a lot of points. And if you remember that game, Dartmouth took the opening kickoff and methodically walked down the field and scored a touchdown. I don't remember how many plays that drive was, but it was double figure plays and a couple of big third down conversions. And, you know, they just really imposed their will on Princeton's defense. So now it's 7-0. Kickoff to Princeton. It took like five plays and Princeton got a touchdown. It's not 7-7. Each team's had the ball once. You're thinking 49-42. But the defense is really tightened up from there. And I think what this game could come down to is two very good defenses that are going to keep the score down. And I think it's going to come down to whichever team makes the bigger play. And that's Dartmouth's strength. They make a lot of big plays. I think, you know, it's the team that's going to have the 65-yard touchdown pass or the 71-yard punt return or one of those, or even the pick six or something like that. The one more big play than the other team. And, you know, both teams have the players who can do that. It's just a matter of where fortune is going to fall and how it's going to play out.
Later in the podcast, we'll sit down with returning starter at center, senior Alex Dieters. But first up, Jerry's conversation with Tigers head coach Bob Cerace.
Back here on the First in Football podcast, I'm Jerry Price, joined by Princeton head football coach Bob Cerace. And coach, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry.
A very special day for Princeton football. It's the 150th anniversary of the first college football game played on November 6th, 1869, Princeton and Rutgers. A lot has been made about this anniversary, literally going back 2 years when the site for the Dartmouth game was announced as Yankee Stadium, something that the program has been looking forward to, something that has been a source of a lot of attention, and now today's the day. And for you, it's really just another Wednesday getting ready for a huge game this weekend. But let's take a step back and talk a little bit about what it's like to be the head coach of the team that's one of the two teams that's celebrating the anniversary of its role in the first game ever played.
Yeah, no, that is the history and tradition here. And my dad's a high school coach, and I'm really into those things. And it meant a lot when I was younger, being recruited. Certainly when I was here, and you get to meet the Dick Kazmaiers and Cosmo Yakavazis and Stash Malashevskis and these historic players who are either in the Hall of Fame or should be, it really means a lot. It means a lot to anybody who's been part of this as a player, coach, staff. If you've been part of this, you're part of this great history, and you certainly feel that.
It's got a lot of attention on Monday night at the Monday night football game, the Cowboys and the Giants, with Jason Garrett, obviously your teammate at Princeton, the head coach of the Cowboys, and they said some nice things about you. I assume you either were watching live or saw it after the fact.
I fell asleep, but I did see it after the fact on Twitter. I'm now well-versed in Twitter. I'm so good at Twitter. So I did see that, and that was really nice. And obviously, you know, Jason and I have been friends for over 30 years, so that was great.
And a lot of attention today from a lot of people you would consider to be media, the people with the most followers on Twitter and the major figures in the media talking about Princeton football and Rutgers football playing in that first game. Brings a lot of attention to the team and to the program, and I think in a very positive way for you guys.
Yeah, there's so much to celebrate. Anybody who's played football, and if you do it the right way, you can get so much out of team sports, and football is truly a team sport. It takes all 11 on each play. It takes scout teams. It takes trainers. It takes everybody that's part of our program to operate the right way. And so anybody who's been a part of this, you know, I think takes a real good sense of satisfaction that we're celebrating 150 years and all these great moments and all these positive things that sometimes get lost in the away of other stuff.
Did you read Jay Greenberg's story about the actual logistics of the first game and all the research he did on that? And if you haven't seen that, you can see it on GoPrincetonTigers.com.
Yeah, you reposted it today. I did read it when he wrote that, and it's amazing. You and Jay, you guys are newspapermen. Like, you guys are journalists. Like, you guys dig into stories, And if you, you know, you don't live in the Twitter world where it's like, you know, 100 characters. You live into these stories. And if you really like that kind of thing, that's a great article.
If you're going to really be into Twitter the way you said, you have to know it's 280 characters.
280. I kind of stick to 100.
So let's talk about the game this weekend. It's a lot of things. It's Yankee Stadium, which automatically has a new dimension for it. It's, you know, around the 150th celebration of football, the 250th celebration of Dartmouth as an institution. It's all those things, all these side things, but mostly what it is your team is 7-0, their team is 7-0, and it's obviously a big game. I mean, it goes without saying that you have to be focused on what goes on the field. Are you able to shut out all the other stuff as you try to prepare for the game?
Yeah, if you're a player or if you're a coach, I mean, the thing I read the team, two of your favorite guys are Tom Brady and Derek Jeter. And and when you look at their regular season stats and you look at their postseason stats, you know, they're always considered clutch. Their stats are almost identical in the postseason as opposed to the regular season. And they stick to the routine, and they play the game the same way. And at the end of the day, that's what we've tried to do. We're sticking to our routine, our preparation. You know, it's hard enough to meet a challenge as good as Dartmouth if you're doing those things, let alone if you're, you know, worried about all the other distractions. And yesterday's practice, our guys were phenomenal. Yesterday's meetings, our guys were phenomenal, and I expect it to stay the way throughout the week.
Is there any kind of concern about going and playing in a Major League Baseball stadium? Not from the perspective of, you know, the maybe even from the perspective of, like, any additional butterflies, but also from just the perspective of it. It's a facility that you're not used to playing in.
Yeah, well, I think that the one thing that, you know, anybody who's a Yankee hater won't like this, but they do represent excellence. They have all the World Series titles and all those things. And here you have two teams that over a long span have represented excellence. So it's a great venue for that. But at the end of the day, you know, Yale seats, what, 80,000? You know, we played some of these guys when they were freshmen and they traveled for the first time. Every stadium's a new venue. And, you know, we'll go up, we'll do a walkthrough on Friday, and we're not there to, like, tour Monument Park or anything else. But we'll get a chance to be on the grass field and be around there. And, you know, most of these guys haven't been in that stadium before.
So Princeton has won 17 straight. Dartmouth has won 19 out of 20. The only loss was the 14-9 game last year. Dartmouth and Princeton, 1-2 in the Ivy League and in the, you know, top 10 to 15 in almost every major statistical category you want to look at. Dartmouth has just been exceptional all season, and now they come in off of that miracle win over Harvard. And a lot of times when teams look back on, you know, their season and they think, okay, that's the one bullet that we dodged, either that's the one that they got out of the way or that's the one that that exposes some vulnerabilities. Which is it? And what does that mean for Dartmouth coming off of a game like that? So emotional, riding that kind of win over Harvard to now have to dial it back up again this week.
Yeah, you don't get many of those. You don't want them on the other end, but you don't get many of those on the positive end. And when you do, it's a great feeling. And I'm sure that had to be a joyous bus ride back. But, you know, when you have a team that's won 19 out of 20, when Sunday came, they go back there. They're a well-coached and they're a tremendously prepared team. They have talent and depth, you know, that way. And, you know, you don't go 19 out of 20 if you're not a team that focuses on preparation. And we have a great deal of respect. We've always had incredible respect for them. And I'm sure that's what they went right back into was the preparation.
When you look at them, and, you know, when I watched that game the other day. It's the first time I actually saw them play. I looked at their stats. First of all, I came away from the last 2 weeks thinking Harvard's pretty good. Harvard's outstanding. So for Dartmouth to do what Dartmouth did is very impressive. And much like your team, they don't really show you too many weaknesses anywhere.
Yeah, you know, they're so efficient offensively, and Gerbino's been an amazing runner, and their running backs are terrific running backs. Drew Estrada and Hunter Hagedorn on the outside are just outstanding. You know, they're different size. They're not as big as Carlson and Horsted, but it's the same effect in the way they change the game. And it's not only their ability to catch the ball and make guys miss, they block, they do all the little things. And as somebody who you really, when you're watching film, those little things stand out. It's not just, you know, who they are making touchdowns. It's those little things. And those little things set up so many big plays for them. I was, you know, talking about it with others. Their tape of 25-plus yard plays, it's the longest tape I've watched in 10 years. They have the ability and dynamic to hit you. Their time of possession isn't much because they'll go 4 yards, 5 yards, 4 yards, and you have a discipline mistake, and they go 50 yards.
So that's the challenge on Saturday. It's Princeton and Dartmouth. Two 7-0 teams, Princeton ranked 9th and 10th in the FCS polls, Dartmouth 13th, Princeton 17 straight, Dartmouth 19 of their last 20 since the start of last year. The teams are 33-1 between them. The average score, if you take away the 14-9 game, it's Princeton and Dartmouth have beaten their teams by essentially 41-13. They've just dominated, and now they're facing off, and they're doing it at Yankee Stadium. 3:30 kickoff. Should be a great afternoon for football. A lot of alums from both teams will be there. A lot of parties going on around the game. But when the game starts, it's obviously a huge one for both teams. And you can see it on ESPNU. You can listen to it on the Listen Live app. And, of course, you can go to Yankee Stadium and see it. Tickets are still available. Coach, good luck.
Thanks, Jerry.
And we will be back with more on the First in Football podcast after this.
The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to present the First in Football podcast each week throughout the Princeton Tigers football season. Check out the newest menu edition at the A&B, breakfast on Saturdays and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 12:30, better known as Feed the Day, highlighting their specialty omelets, eggs your way, French toast, and drink specials. Visit the Alchemist and Barrister in the heart of Princeton and online at theanb.com. The Alchemist and Barrister, well known as the Cheers of Princeton, is proud to present the First in Football podcast and support the Princeton Tigers.
Back on the First in Football podcast, joined by senior center from Cincinnati, Ohio, Alex Dieters, who's trying to get out of here and go to an offensive line meeting and then make sure he's ready for Saturday against Dartmouth. Alex, I know busy week. Appreciate you stopping down and making some time.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pleasure to be on.
So I know you're a center. It's your second year as the Tigers starting center. Your head coach also happened to be a pretty good and all Ivy League center at Princeton. Is it tough knowing that your head coach not only played the same position, but played the same position here?
I don't know if it's tough. Both Coach Trace and Coach Orica center as well have been tremendous resources for me as a player. It's really special to know that they have that kind of knowledge and that kind of experience and great resources to tap into if I have a question about something in terms of, you know, what a defense has given us from an alignment perspective or how technically to go after a certain matchup that week.
You're from Cincinnati, out of St. Xavier. Bob Saray spent the better part of a decade as an assistant coach in Cincinnati with the Bengals. How much of your conversation, I know you didn't deal with Coach Saray a ton during the recruiting process, but now that you're here, how much of your conversation involves around things in the Queen City?
A very large portion of it. He'll see me in between meetings and say, oh, that was a tough loss to the Bengals last night, and as often as this year it has. But most of our conversation honestly revolves around food. Two big fests of Cincinnati cuisine are Skyline Chili and Grater's Ice Cream. He is particularly fond of Grater's Ice Cream. So I think that's very telling, both of us as individuals, that so much of our conversation revolves around, you know, 1,200 calorie pints of ice cream, but that is what it is.
And you're a little bit higher on Skyline Chili than your head coach?
Absolutely. It's this, Skyline Chili is unlike any other chili that maybe
it's polarizing.
Polarizing is one word. Exactly. I was born on it, so there's pictures of me at Skyline when I'm like 2.5 with a three-way in front of me. He wasn't quite born into it the same way I was, so it's been a part of me from, you know, the time I was born, and he was kind of introduced to it a little later in life.
Let's talk about being a center in the Ivy League. You're one of two returning starters this season. The other is one of your offensive tackles, Brent Holder. Has this year felt different? Let's go back to training camp. Did it feel different this year coming in as a returning starter and having 10 games of experience under your belt?
I will say this time around I knew a lot more what I needed to work on to get to game one as opposed to my junior year. Excuse me. Last year I was just trying to keep my feet under me. I practiced every day and try to, you know, do the best I could that day, whereas it felt like this year, like I had a plan. I knew what I was working to. I knew what I needed to do to get ready for game one. It felt a lot more systematic this year as opposed to last year.
Does your job change or differ going from John Lovett to Kevin Davidson, two guys who have had success but have done it a little bit differently?
Not necessarily. I guess some of the schematic stuff we do might be a little different week to week with Johnny versus with Kevin. Obviously, a little more read game last year as opposed to this year with a lot of dropback passing. But week in, week out, there's not a ton of difference.
I know your plan once you graduate next spring is a little bit different than a lot of guys who pass through Princeton planning on going to Marine Corps Officers Candidate School. If you do get selected to that program, what does that involve?
So that'll involve a four-year service commitment out of school. I will hopefully get placed, again, if I'm selected, if I have that great fortune, I'll be selected into the class in November of 2020. So that'll be a four-year service commitment. From then, I'll come out of Officer Candidate School as a commissioned second lieutenant, and then I'll have 20 to 30 more weeks of schooling to get into my specialty from that point in time.
Did you know that's what you wanted to do when you got to Princeton?
Not at all. I thought that I would end up on Wall Street. Coming a kid from the Midwest, I didn't really know anything about the Ivy League to begin with, but the one thing I thought I knew was that all Ivy League kids go on to work on Wall Street. That's not my path. That's not something that I can see myself doing 10 years from now. I felt called to a little bit more, so I think this is why I'm going down the path hopefully I'm going down.
And we talked a little bit before we pressed record on this podcast. Military service runs in your family.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My uncle was a Ranger. My father served. My great-grandpa Fred served. There's definitely, we've had family members in every conflict from probably the Civil War through Iraqi freedom.
What's your major?
Classics. So I'm writing my...
And how does that tie into military and what's your thesis on?
Well, I'm writing my thesis on, it's a comparative history. I'm looking at the development of Roman republicanism in archaic Rome and the development of Athenian democracy in archaic Athens. So a little out there for sure. I'm not quite sure how that ties into my career path yet, but I guess I'm figuring it out.
Let's talk about the game this Saturday at Yankee Stadium, 7-0 Princeton, 7-0 Dartmouth. Does it feel a little bit different? I know there's been a lot of buildup, and this was really a game for the ages last year. Does this week feel different at all, or is it just another game?
I mean, there's certainly a lot of pomp and circumstance around it. There's no point in beating around the bush. It's incredible we play at Yankee Stadium. But at the end of the day, it's another opponent. It's another week we're trying to win. I'm trying to have a good practice yesterday. I'm trying to have a good practice today. I'm trying to have a good meeting. I'm just doing all the things I can do to prepare myself and the guys for Saturday.
As you watch film getting ready for Saturday, what do you see from the Dartmouth defense? What's the challenge they bring?
I mean, they have incredible guys up front. They're probably the biggest unit we've played thus far. As a smaller guy, that's always something I'm looking at, see how much bigger the guys I'll end up with are going to be. But, you know, they're an incredible unit. They brought a lot of guys back that had big roles last year, and they've had, you know, so far great success this year.
We've kind of noticed it, and I'm glad you brought it up, you know, saying a little bit of a smaller guy. Are there advantages to that? We saw you. I can't think of the exact play. It may have been a Colonnini run where you were stride by stride with either a running back or wide receiver down the field. Are there some advantages in an offense like this to maybe being a little bit smaller and more mobile?
Certainly, you know, we ask our offensive linemen, especially our interior guys, to very often get outside, and whether it's, you know, blocking for Colin at the edge or getting out on the screen, I think certainly my smaller size lends a degree of mobility that I may have over some of my other counterparts in the group.
Alex, appreciate you stopping down. Great conversation, and good luck Saturday.
Thanks, sir.
That was Princeton center Alex Dieters. Thanks for joining us on the Week 8 edition of the First in Football podcast. Again, kickoff coming up this Saturday, 3:30 at Yankee Stadium. 7-0 Princeton taking on 7-0 Dartmouth. This has been the First in Football podcast presented by the Alchemist and Barrister. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.